Our Bible reading today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 1, verses 26 to 38.
The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. May it be to me as you have said." And then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to the word of God. Thank you, John. Thank you for such powerful reading and bringing that message to us in that way. I was looking at people's gifts that we have. There are some people who don't know that they've got a gift that they've been given by God. Looking around our football teams in this country, there's a lot of talent that we see in players. They use their legs. Or speaking to someone, say, "Well, these guys get a lot of money. Why is that sometimes they even fail to perform on the football pitch?" I think sometimes they forget that they've got a gift, not for their own personal glory, but for everyone else. A gift that you are given by God should be shared by everyone. Tony, do you mind to put my theme on the screen, please? Pardon? Yeah, you saw it. No, not that one. Yeah. That's my theme today. Share that gift. Don't hold it for yourself. We have the story of Mary. She was given this gift by God. She didn't keep it to herself. If she had done so, you and me today, we're still going to perish. But she was given that gift, and she was able to share it. I said to my wife the other year, I wanted to buy a present for for her birthday. And I was thinking of buying a kitchen utensil. He said, no, I don't want kitchen utensils because we are all going to use it. And it's my birthday. Yeah, but if you've got a gift, share your gift with others. I agree with you that it was your birthday. But there it is. Share that gift. So, by buying a kitchen utensils, she was going to cook for all those who come in our house, isn't it? Then share with. Yeah, I agree with you. But wouldn't it be nice for you to cook in the something that you've been given on your birthday and then share with everyone else? Right. Going back to our story this morning, we have got three things that we need to know. One, why Christ came. Why? We are confronted by an evil world today. Everything is upside down. No one can tell me the world is upright. It's not good. There is ISIS. There is all sorts. Right? So the world is evil. This is why, one of the reasons why Jesus came. The first thing to note is that Moses spoke about it in advance. In Deuteronomy 18 verse 18, he said, "One like me will be born amongst you." But when things are now unfolding, we've already forgotten about that. Even this ISIS we have now, Al-Qaeda we have now, if you go to Genesis 16, verse 12, it talks about Ishmael being, well, always at loggerheads with his brothers. So even we have ISIS coming to an end, even Al-Qaeda might come to an end until Jesus comes. It's not only about ISIS or Al-Qaeda. It's the evil in the world that we need to get rid of. The evil we can only get rid of evil when Christ comes back. Right? The next thing also, I don't know whether Mary had read the scriptures. We go back to Isaiah 7 verse 14. It tells us about a virgin having a baby. Right? The third thing, the most important, Paul tells us about this. It's in Timothy 1, verses 1, verses 15 to 16. If we can go to Timothy 1, and we read those verses together, please. What Paul is saying. 1 Timothy 1, verses 15 to 16. Because we are answering this question, why Christ came. Are we there? If you are there, I will read. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe in him and receive eternal life. That's the reason why Christ came. That's the reason why Christ came, to save you and me. Verse 15 especially. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save the sinners, of whom I am the worst. Do you agree with me? Christ came in this world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Don't point at someone else. Point at yourself. So in answering this question, why Christ came, it is for that reason, to save a sinner like me. Now we go to the point which is bothering a lot of people in this world today. How it happened. Sometimes when we look at things, they don't seem to be happening because we always want things to happen our way. So if it doesn't happen the way I want it, it hasn't happened. But always, we must always allow things to happen, because there is prophecy that is well ahead of us. Like the virgin birth It was well prophesied in Isaiah that a virgin will give a birth to a child. So, when it's coming now, maybe people have forgotten about it, but there's one person who acknowledged that. Elizabeth knew about this prophecy. Check her comments on verse 42, the text that we've read this morning. Let's go back to Luke, verse 42, and hear what Elizabeth says when Mary visited her. Verse 42. What does Elizabeth say? Luke chapter 1, verse 42. What does it say?
In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear."
Thank you. Maybe Elizabeth remembered the prophecy that was there. Because as Mary visited her, the child in her womb that John the Baptist lived in the womb. When I was growing up, I was told that if a child lips in your stomach, the mother might die. But not in this case. It didn't happen that way. But the most important thing here, what we want to see and look at, is the two type of characters who are in front of us. There is a virgin who hasn't slept with a man, but she was going to have a child. Those of scientific background, they say, no, that cannot happen. But those of religious beliefs, they say it will happen. Because you remember at creation, the world, the earth was void. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. It was that Spirit of God that commanded everything into being. So it is the same Spirit that commanded a virgin to have a child. Okay? And then the second thing is this woman of maturity age who is barren. She has gone through her age-bearing age. But God is going to make a miracle. He's going to bear a child. Okay? So the three things we are looking for here is personal responsibility. The second one, integrity and maturity. Amen? So if we have young people here, we are looking for their responsibility and integrity. This is what Mary is showing to those who believe in the Lord. We need to have responsibility in our faith. We need to have responsibility in what we do. We need to have responsibility in the life that we live. This is what Mary is showing us here. What about integrity? It's very important, especially to those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. A man of integrity. My daughter is always saying, "Dad, you are now different. You are a man of integrity." So she always waits for something if I make a mistake. "Dad, you are a man of integrity." Even if she is asking for me to drive her to town. Say, "Diana, you can catch a bus, my daughter." "Dad, don't forget you are a man of integrity. Come take me to town." So I always give in, because once she says that, I feel guilty. So even in our lives as well, we must maintain that integrity. This is what Mary is showing us here. This is what Elizabeth is showing us here. At that age, when they said she has gone out of childbearing period. She is barren, some said. But there, God says, "I'm going to do a miracle. She's going to have a child." Your aunt Elizabeth, though people said she's barren, she's going to have a child. What about a virgin? 12-year-old, according to scholars, they say Mary could have been 12 years old, though they are not really accurate about that age. It's not about her virginity. It's about her responsibility. Are we responsible for the church of God? Are we responsible for this special gift that came at Christmas? Are we going to share it with others? Or it's one man for himself and God for us all? When we've received this special gift, let's share it with other people like Mary did. Don't keep it to yourself. Like you think, "Well, I don't need to share this with other people." We need to share that gift with others. Mary, in verse 35, she was also puzzled. She said, how is this going to happen? Listen to this. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. The Holy One to be born is going to be called Son of God. Why it happened that way? We've already heard from Isaiah 1 verse 14 that a virgin will have a child and you'll give him this name. That is very important. God chose Mary. God has chosen you too. So you need to be responsible. Mary was chosen by God. No one chose Mary that is going to bear the Son of God. But it was God who chose her. So this morning I also want to remind you, God has chosen you at this time. He wants you to be responsible. He wants you to be a person of integrity. He wants you to be a person who is willing to share. Amen?
Amen.
Are you willing to share?
Yeah.
Yes. Let's share this Jesus together. Let's tell other people. Then another thing that I want us to look at. Why Jesus had to come. Let's go to Romans 5 verse 12. Why it happened that way. It's on the screen. So there we go. Therefore, just as sin entered the world through one man, and death through sin, and in this way, death came to all people because all sinned. Who can lift up their hands this morning and say, I don't sin? Who of you doesn't sin? There we go. This is why Jesus had to come. Because we have all sinned. And we all need Jesus. Because without Jesus, things can go haywire. That's another reason why he came. Let's go to Corinthians 1, chapter 15, verse 21. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 21. For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. Amen. Sin came into the world through a man. Right? So we are going to be saved through a man. These are all God's plans. No one can say, well, no, I knew it was going to happen. Or it's God's plan. And God's plans are God's plans. God says in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. So here we find there is sin in the world that came through a man. Now sin is going to come out of the world through a man who is Jesus. But for those who believe in the Lord Jesus, we know that when we die, he will come and resurrect us. I know John doesn't like that. My brother, I want to assure you, when we die, we don't die. We go to sleep. And Jesus will come. When he calls your name, you will wake up. Yes? Because he is the one who died and he was the first one to be resurrected. So we who believe in him will do the same. There you hear. So as we celebrate Christmas, we must know that the birth of Jesus Christ is an answer to sin which is in the world. Sin came through men. And sin, death is going to be abolished by man, through man, who is Christ. So Christ has conquered death. We too will conquer death. This is why we read in John chapter 10 verse 10 that a thief comes to steal, right? And destroy. But I have come so that they can enjoy life and enjoy it abundantly. Please don't get this wrong. It's not to enjoy the earthly life. No, this earthly life cannot be enjoyed. I told you earlier on, there's Al-Qaeda, there's all sorts of evil in this world. So we can't enjoy. But when we go to the New Jerusalem, I tell you, we won't be paying rent. we won't be hating anyone. We'll be loving each other as Jesus loves. This is the aim of Jesus. A thief comes to steal and destroy, but I have come so that they can have life and have it in abundance. So this is what we are aiming to. This world is not our home. I remember Jim Reeves singing that song. Yeah, we are just passing through. So how can we expect this to be the best place? This is not a best place. This is not a best place. Our best place is with Christ. And the last thing, his name and why. The dialogue was going on between Mary and Elizabeth, and something will remain forever. Mary is assured by the angel that this child, you will give him this name. What's the name? Emmanuel. What does Emmanuel mean? God with us. That's what it means. That's what it means. It wasn't Mary or Joseph's idea to give that name, but it was well planned. It was well planned. As I finish, listen to what Matthew 1 verse 21 says, especially about that child. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. This is the message you tell anyone. We are celebrating Christmas because Jesus has come to destroy death. Jesus has come to give us enjoyable life. No misery. When we get to the New Jerusalem, it will be singing right through. No eating. No fighting. But singing for the glory of God. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for that? The house went quiet. This world is not our home. Our home is with Christ. Mary is told point blank that she will bear the only and one Son of God for one purpose and one purpose only, to save sin. So take that on board. This child is to save mankind from perishing. Through Christ, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior, you are saved. This morning, God is offering this gift of mercy to people who say they are sinners. If you are not a sinner, this gift is not yours. The gift that God is giving is for sinners like me. The gift that God is giving is a sinner like me. I don't want to point at you. Each and every individual must point at themselves. This gift is for sinners like me. Hence, Jesus came. Paul has cited, he is a trustworthy saying that deserves all full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. Maintain your integrity. Maintain your responsibility. Maintain your friendship with your neighbors. You will be behaving like Christ. Let's pray together. Father God, we want to thank you for this special gift that you gave us at Christmas. The birth of Jesus Christ was foretold, but sometimes people tend to rubbish this type of news. Some don't even believe it. But Father, you spoke about well in advance through the prophets. We pray that those who cannot comprehend this great story, Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to them. It's not about us with our intelligence, but it's about you through your Holy Spirit speaking to these people. So Father, we pray that whilst we are doing this, we will maintain our integrity, we will maintain our responsibility, we will maintain that you have given to us, the knowledge about the birth of Jesus, the meaning of his name, and the purpose of him coming into this world. We want to thank you, Father, for this special gift. May you be praised and honored in all that we do. In your Son's name we have prayed. Amen.